something that I really like about living this way is that it sort of fills your life with a little bit more of a sense of adventure, a little bit more of a sense of connectedness with sort of the world around you and the area. You get to meet and interact with people who you don't when you're just behind the windshield of your car. It's just fun to be riding your bike along the Greenway to get to work. It's just, you know, it just, in my opinion, it's not only is it a way to save money, a way to stay active, it also kind of contributes to my happiness in general.
Could your household live in Raleigh with just one car? Believe it or not, plenty of people do, including me. Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, the podcast about transit and transportation in the City of Oaks. I'm Jennifer. Today I'm joined by my guest host, Leo, my husband, who's actually going to help me tell the story of being a one-car family. We also talked to some other one-car families, as you heard there at the start, and we're going to hear more from them as well.
That's right, but let's start with us. I know I've always wanted to kind of shrink our carbon footprint or just the time spent in the car getting between places. I'm always looking to find a place closer to minimize all that driving we do. You know, when I was job hunting while still employed, I took that chance to go after some companies that were closer to home, you know, get that job much closer. And downtown definitely was high up on my list, and that would have cut my current commute from RTP, you know, much further down. And I'd been doing that RTP commute for 10 years, and it just was getting old. Around that time, I know I was fortunate to find a company that was a good fit in downtown Raleigh. I got the job, and I converted my 20-mile drive to a 20-minute walk. With work now being so close to home and having some flexibility throughout the day, it just felt like you and I could seriously try the one car thing and see how it would go.
Yeah, I remember you pitched it to me, and I think we'd even talked about it before, but we weren't sure, you know, it was one of those that it couldn't happen until you ended up in a new job downtown. And so it's been about a year now. I feel like it's going pretty well. I think the main challenge that I notice is that we have to do a little bit more planning. So a lot of times the night before, we'll sit down and talk about the next day. On a quote-unquote normal work day, we take turns driving our daughter to daycare, and the other one gets to walk to or from work. But then, you know, occasionally there's those odd times, and you just have to talk about who needs the car. One thing that really helps, like I said, is having our offices so close together. We can share the car and check in with each other. We both work downtown. If one of us needs to take the car during the day for a doctor's appointment or something, usually I'm the one who needs the car to go to meetings, where, Leo, you get to stay at your desk most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the planning does make things a lot smoother. So, you know, we share our calendars, talk about, you know, what needs we have coming up. Like you said, the appointments or critical meetings that we just need that car. It's just communicating and see, like, hey, I really want the car on this day. You know, is that going to impact you, or do we have a conflict? And sometimes it's the other way around. So if we do have a conflict, you know, we have to fall back on some of our alternatives, like we can, like looking at the bus, can that get us around? Or if we're in a time crunch, maybe something quicker like Lyft, some ride sharing service. I think anyone would have to consider those alternatives in Raleigh to make things a little bit easier and in order to get around. Yeah, and having access to downtown Raleigh certainly makes it easy, because some of those services and alternatives are kind of at the hub around here.
Yeah, and one thing I hear sometimes for people I'm talking to about being a one-car family or who thought about it is that it's tougher if you have children, which is probably true, but not always. The person we heard from the beginning, his name is Owen. He lives in Cary, and he works in RTP, and he actually has three children. And he said part of what helps is making the choice. He chose to live close to transit. That's a theme we also heard from James Demby, who visited us in episode 36. James literally chose a house based on taking transit to work. Owen, the one-car family guy I mentioned, he has also mentioned you make other choices, like choosing the location of his daughter's gymnastics lessons. He chose that a place closer to home or closer to a transit stop. And here's more on his experience being a one-car family.
There's challenges. There's you know, benefits and drawbacks to it, I would certainly say. You know, some of the challenges are related to how do you handle the days when things are not routine? You know, it's very easy to make things work from a routine perspective. So part of it is that this is possible because my wife's occupation is that she manages our household and cares for our children full time. So she's a stay-at-home mom, so that helps a lot. But on a normal day, so I'll take my daughter to the bus stop for school. I have one daughter who's in first grade, and from there, I'll ride my bike to a bus stop, then I'll catch a bus to work, and I'll catch the bus home, and then so on. So the challenges are when, like, say, my daughter has some activity after school, or there's
right.
something I need to be at for her school, or whether there's a doctor's appointment or something like that. And what I've found is that most of the time, I'm able to work out something with my wife, or I'll just take the car for that day, or my job is fairly flexible from a perspective of telecommuting, so I'll work it out with my boss and say I'll work from home on that day. Or on those days where we just can't work it out for whatever reason, I've found that having Uber and Lyft available as sort of a fallback option is just priceless. You know, it adds a whole other level of flexibility to what you can do. Because even if you wind up using Uber once or twice a month, that's still way cheaper than having a car, you know, having to pay for gas all the time and having to pay insurance and having to pay car payments.
Taking a taxi service or ride-hailing service such as Lyft is a theme we've heard a lot from people we've talked to about this. I've been surprised how infrequently we've needed to call for a ride, you and I, but it helps to have those services available when you need them, yeah. Another person we spoke with, Greg, agreed that he and his wife discuss the car needs in advance and rely on ride-hailing services, but he and his wife have been one car since before they were married.
So I was an undergraduate at BYU out in Utah, and I was doing fine on a bicycle by myself, and then I started to date a girl who lived off campus, and so I bought a car. And that was our first car before we even were, you know, seriously involved. And we've never bought two cars. So we both graduated from college. I was a transit commuter for a while in Salt Lake City, and then we moved to Georgia, to Atlanta for my grad school. And yeah, just never. When we were there, I got to campus by bike or transit. Sometimes she would drive me if the weather or things weren't working out. We moved to Raleigh for a job. Lived in Cameron Village, and I rode my bike to work on Fayetteville Street. We bought a house in North Hills a couple years ago, and still have not ever acquired that second car.
So before we keep going, I think it's really critical to mention that this conversation comes from a place of privilege. Plenty of people in Raleigh own one car or no car at all because they can't afford to. So this discussion about the choice to be a one-car family, I think, might come off as a little bit snobby, and I don't mean for it to be. It's just the point is that for many Americans, the idea of not having two cars is a strange one. If you're like me and Leo, you grew up in a suburban or rural area and you have both parents in the house and maybe both of them work or maybe both don't, but it just made sense to have two cars. That's how you got around between parents and then especially as the kids got older and became teenagers.
Right. I mean, there's the privilege of having one car, but also there's people that just need multiple cars because of jobs or certain family situations. And so we want to recognize that we're all coming at this car ownership thing in just different ways. If you think about the invention of the car, it used to be a luxury item. Ford, the company, changed all that with the famous invention of the assembly line, making it cheaper for people to buy cars. In 1960, Americans owned one car for every three people. That's the total number of cars on the road, by the way, averaging out to one car for every three people. By 1990, 30 years later, it was more than one car for every two people, meaning we began to own a lot more cars. But it's been going back down since then. You'll see lots of articles about how millennials aren't driving as much or have less interest in it.
Right. But at the same time, and this is interesting, a 2013 article from The Guardian, a British publication, mentioned that people in England are more and more people are owning two cars per household. So I guess they're currently in the opposite trend across the pond, or at least they were a few years ago. And to your earlier point, the idea that you just need multiple cars because of jobs and family situations. Yeah, we're not saying everybody should be one car. It's just an interesting discussion. And Greg talked about this too. Greg is another person we spoke to about being a one-car family. Again, he did a dissertation on the topic of car ownership, and here's what he had to say about that.
Part of my dissertation was looking at the car ownership of people considering their previous addresses. So not just, you know, what neighborhood do you live in now, but what neighborhood types have you lived in the past? And in my research, I showed that people who have previously lived in New York or Philadelphia or dense places where car ownership is less common continue to own fewer vehicles throughout their lives. So it is a learned behavior and not just a behavior resulting from the environment that you find yourself in today, if that makes sense.
Another theme from those we spoke to about being a one-car family is travel. Both Greg and Owen had experience living in other countries for a time. Greg, for example, was in London at age 14 and felt such freedom getting around the city on his own compared to here in the U.S., where he often asked his mom for rides. Owen had a similar experience studying abroad in college in Japan. It's like the light bulb goes on when you realize that freedom that other places give you.
Yeah, the freedom of transit, which is something you and I have talked about, frequency, freedom, et cetera. And yeah, that freedom is what I keep hearing from people who have given up the second car, which sounds counterintuitive. I think a lot of people think owning two cars is easier or that driving is easier than walking or biking. After all, if you're biking or walking or taking a bus, you have to factor in more time. You're doing some physical exercise. You have to dress for the weather, and you might be bringing a change of shoes like I do. If you run an errand, let's say on your way home from work, you are only going to buy what you can carry home, and then you physically have to carry it home. But the freedom part comes in where you don't have to park a car. And here's Greg again about that.
Yeah, honestly, there's nothing I hate more than trying to drive somewhere popular and park there. Like, it's the worst. I love riding up to, you know, when we lived in Cameron Village, we could ride our bikes down to, like, the Bluegrass Festival or something happening downtown. Just lock our bike to a rail, and we're there. It's not this, okay, well, where can we find parking? How much is parking going to cost? Do I have cash to pay for the parking if they only take cash? In some ways, the biking was more free than the driving was.
So we've got some anecdotal evidence that being a one-car family might be more common, and we hear millennials are shunning cars. Still, Americans appear to be driving more than ever, according to a 2015 article by Scientific American. We'll put some of those stats in the show notes.
Yeah, but at the same time we're driving more, it doesn't necessarily mean we're owning more cars. One study that we found at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute has showed that vehicle ownership is decreasing. The study says per American, we owned 0.79 cars in 2006, so this data's a little bit old, but then that has dropped steadily each year. The more recent numbers indicate that an estimated 8.7% of U.S. households were without vehicles in 2016.
In Raleigh, the number of households without a car at all was 5.3% in 2015. The next year, in 2016, that number climbed to 6% of households without a car. At the same time, the number of vehicles per household went up 1.69% to 1.74 in that same one-year period. So it seems more people had no car at all, but those who did had more cars, not fewer.
Right. And as Greg suggested, studies show that, of course, car-free households, you know, this is going to be a thing you're going to see more often in urban areas with dense populations, places with better transit system, and then, of course, in places where residents earn lower income. But again, the research seems to indicate that younger families, one-person households, they're more likely not to own a car these days, just like you said earlier about millennials, which is everyone's favorite group to talk about.
Of course. One good reason for owning just one car is to save money. You and I, Jennifer, are definitely saving some money with our situation. The car we sold was paid for, but it still means we have a lower monthly insurance bill, and we pay less maintenance because if we don't have it, we don't have to maintain it. And the maintenance was getting a bit higher because the car was old.
Yeah, we sold my car, for the record, and it was, 10 years old.
Yeah.
Definitely need a little bit more work. This is something we heard from another listener who's a one-car family, and he actually had a little spreadsheet budget breakdown for us and said we could go ahead and share those figures with you. For him, the car insurance was about $1,080 a year. Registration and tax was about $200 a year. Wear and tear maintenance, including tires, was around $750 a year. And he estimated his gas was around $840 a year. So the grand total per year just to own a car that's already paid for was $4,870. Now, you can't just say I just saved all of that money, because he added, he does take a few more Lyft rides here and there. So he estimated about $600 a year for that right now. But that means he's saving still more than $4,270 a year, which is a pretty good chunk of money.
Yeah, I think we're paying more for Lyft rides too, and, you know, the occasional bus trip, but it's definitely been worth it. I will admit that with a one-car situation, you might see the one car do more driving than if we're two. I think you and I do that. So maybe the savings aren't quite as high than what was mentioned, but it's thousands of dollars if you're moving from a two-car situation down to a one. Also, if you're into cars and like all the bells and whistles that come with them, going down to one car, it might give you the opportunity to get a nicer one rather than paying for two, you know, middle-of-the-road cars, if you will.
That's a good point. One of the articles I read suggested that to be a smart financial person, you should have a good, nice car, and then your other car should be a beater and not cost very much. We're not necessarily saving $4,000 a year, but I'm sure it's a lot. That probably varies for everybody. So that's our discussion today. We just wanted to bring up the idea of one-car families because I keep meeting people who are doing this. I'd love to hear from you listeners out there. Are you someone with just one car for a family, or are you thinking about it? You can share your experiences or concerns or questions with us. You can do that via email at inboundraleigh@gmail.com, or on social. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and that's inboundraleigh. So thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.